Jim, 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 Jim,
Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Jim, Hey, text us something nice. Not about me. I mean, you can if you want, but just something nice that you did today. Good news. And we'll read it a little bit later on when we go back-to-back nonstop nice texts. More commercial-free nice texts than any other radio station has done. That is on the way. The U.S. may have a massive blackout this summer. Something, a texter said, is this involved Bill Cosby? No, there's just a lot of things that could, no, you're terrible. This is what you are, people. Memorial Day down in the United States. I worry that the true message of Memorial Day gets lost on our American friends. I do think, despite the fact that we do a really good job in screwing over our vets, I think we do a better job remembering their contribution because, I mean, what is Memorial Day, if you asked Americans? Oh, it's a 80% off mattress sale. Okay. And finally, it's National Road Trip Day down in the United States. Sounds great, replied everybody who gets to be stuffed in a car, hating your nagging partner and your bratty kids just so you could visit some relatives you secretly hate. Sounds fantastic. Been there, done it. I'm Jim Richards.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards. On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
That is all accurate, and thank you very much for your time. Looking forward to spending a week. I'm going to make it sound like a week is what I'm going to do, where we've got a great show for you. We're going to talk about the future of electric cars as people are concerned of that investment that Canada has made. But one person wants to say, wait a second, you have no idea how big this could get if we get in on the right, if we get our foot in the door right away. But first, let's lead off with the most important segment of the day, which is called
Jim Richards Has Issues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Let's tip our hat to our friends in Windsor who are super concerned that they might not get that Stellantis plant. There's two of them, one for modules and one for cells. They're worried about the one that, ironically, is already completed.
I am concerned about the module plant, the module portion of this plant. I think it's at serious risk, and I think Stellantis is, you know, part of their contingency plans. They are looking in Michigan, whether they can locate all or part of this to Michigan. But people need to know, when you drive by the site off EC Rowan Banwell, the building that you see almost completed, just basically ready to be clad now, that building is the module building.
The president of the Unifor Local 44 there, his name is actually David Cassidy. He's concerned too.
100%. I talked to our COO, Mark Stewart. He's indicated as well. So we come to $35. We need to get to the $45. That extra $10 is about $4 billion, potentially over the life of that 10 years. What's the return on investment?
You've got to get that done. I would say that to Trudeau, it's absolutely imperative that you get that done, 100%. You can't let that slip away.
Just made a silly mistake.
It could be a huge mistake for the future. I mean, it's a lot of it is Ontario, but the future of the automotive sector in this country means that you have to get it done. But that is a lot of money. Speaking of money, the Pride celebration in Toronto is noted to be one of the top five internationally, and now they've got a bill that they might not be able to pay. The police have come to them and said some of the rates are going to be sky high. Why is that? Because of an assessment that there could be a threat because of all the hate around. Here's one of the Pride organizers.
We believe that there is, we've been
charge this amount because there is a huge risk. The towards LGBTQ community have been attacked. There's lots of threat towards the community. And as a result, there might be a need for more officers to protect the community.
I think that makes sense, that the assessment from the cops is, hey, this is going to make sense. So it's going to go up from 62,000 to almost, 170,000. And who's looking to fill that? Well, governments don't have any money anymore, especially municipal government. So Jim Richards is calling on corporations. If you get a handful of them together, I'm sure you'd be able to find that money. Health Canada is looking at increasing how powerful gummies are. I have tried gummies before. The only thing they've done is make me fall asleep. So with this news, maybe it's a, because I'm willing, I'm not ashamed to say that drinking is not my thing anymore, and every once in a while, maybe you would like to get a little tipsy. So I'm glad they are doing that. Here's an expert in the field, Brad Poulos, who was on earlier today.
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure, not just from the Competition Bureau, but from literally every respondent to the review that's being done by Health Canada. I can't imagine there'll be too many that agree with the 10 milligram limit. So this is one of the things I think is almost certain to change on the other side of the Health Canada review.
If you really want to get rid of the black market, you got to do things like that. Everybody's wondering how bad allergies are going to be this year. Apparently a lot worse, as explained by Dr. Mitch.
We're seeing much more pollen in the air, and this happening for a whole bunch of reasons. One, the growing season is longer. Whether you want to say it's climate change, the growing season has been expanding by a couple of weeks every couple of years over the last decade, number one. Number two, we know that there's more carbon dioxide in the air. Carbon dioxide is one of the fuels that helps plants to grow. You're helping the plants to grow, and therefore they're going to create more pollen. Number three, we've been planting trees, which is a good thing. But by and large, most communities have been planting male trees. Well, what's the problem with a male tree? The male tree makes the pollen. And so you're planting trees that are more likely to release pollen, you're giving them a longer growing season, and you're giving them more fuel to make more pollen.
Dr. Mitch. We had a conversation yesterday with the representative of the gambling industry in this country, and we played this clip from Professor Emeritus from the University of Toronto Sports and Politics on how bad gambling is for people.
Gambling is an addictive practice. It's the only one recognized by the American Psychiatric Association as a non-substance-based addiction, and it's harmful. I mean, one of the things I hope never
happens. There's real stats that it is harmful. So Paul Burns, who represents the Gambling Institute, he said, you know, the commercials that you're seeing on TV, mostly in Ontario, they've all been cleared by advertising executives, and they've passed every... But that was, not my point. My point is, you can't tell me that they're not hurting people.
Canadians have had unrestricted access to internet gaming since its inception. An example, about $1.5 billion a year was leaving the country to offshore markets. Canadians have had access to these many unregulated...
So this was a great... I thought it was a good answer. He's trying to say, you know what, money was leaving, so we're going to take advantage of getting that tax money. And all of these commercials tick all the boxes, but it doesn't address the real harm that it's doing.
It seems like a free-for-all.
Well, you're talking about volume, but within those ads, there's a very lengthy list of things that operators can not claim in their advertising, not do. And
one of them is not telling people not to gamble, which they're doing and is harmful. And I wanted to wrap up with something that I thought was really funny. It's Donald Trump Jr. telling people to get themselves on Patriot Mobile.
So if you're going to have a phone, you can give your money to AT&T and watch it get weaponized against everything that you believe, or you can go to Patriot Mobile. It's that simple.
Okay, he says AT&T, but one of the big corporations is T-Mobile down there. So guess what? Patriot Mobile is on the T-Mobile network. So you're still using a big company that might not necessarily believe in being a patriot, which, if I read it accurately, is some numbskull misreading the Constitution and wrapping himself in the flag to disguise his bigotry and calling himself a patriot. We'll do the rundown in a moment here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Dancing in the other room, we go on a deep dive into just how big of an industry in Canada will electric vehicles be if we do all of the right things here, as every other country is tripping over themselves to attract companies. If we become the place to be, how much of a footprint could that mean? That in a half hour on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. It's time right now for the rundown. We're joined by Andrew Pinsent, who is the host of CFRA's morning show on the weekends, also a reporter there. You can hear him tomorrow starting at 6 a.m. and hear Dan Laxer on Sunday at 9 a.m. on the trivia show from 9 to noon. He's a broadcaster, writer, and he joins us right now. Guys, how are you? Ready for the weekend?
Absolutely. Hi there.
Geared up for content, boys.
Here we go. I hope this isn't a curveball, because I know I didn't send this to you guys, but in Windsor, they're getting really concerned about maybe not completely landing the full Stellantis deal. Here is the mayor of Windsor. His name is Drew Dilkins.
I am concerned about the module plant, the module portion of this plant. I think it's at serious risk. And I think Stellantis is, you know, part of their contingency plans. They are looking in Michigan, whether they can locate all or part of this to Michigan. But people need to know, when you drive by the site off EC Row and Banwell, the building that you see almost completed, just basically ready to be clad now, that building is the module building.
Again, I think everybody thought that, you know, the governments are going to go back to work and they're going to get this done. Do you guys think that Canadians support at any cost? Because it's going to be billions of dollars. If really Stellantis is playing chicken here, they'd be willing to go. I mean, a building built for them that they walk away from is going to be the least of their problems if America is waving all sorts of money at them. Dan?
Well, it's hard to say at this point, because, you know, you'd have to look back in the past to see other projects similar to this one, other deals similar to this one, and decide, did they indeed lead to a boost to the economy? Did they indeed lead to a rise? And like, did they put Canadians to work? And if they did, then we need to do whatever we can to make deals like this happen. But at the same time, you know how I feel about this, where, like, you know, we're taking these multi-billion dollar corporations and trying to somehow entice them. And it almost seems like throwing good money after bad.
Yep. The American government, I don't know, Biden is kicked out. Who knows, if a Republican wins, they could rip up the IRA, which is the Inflation Reduction Act, where they're throwing all of these this money at other countries. So, Andrew, do you think at any cost?
Well, I don't think at any cost, but I think what Stellantis is doing is obviously brilliant negotiation tactics, in terms of they're putting everybody against each other, even the provincial and federal government in our country. But they're also making cuts in Europe and the U.S. as well. So it looks like they're just trying to save as much money as possible. And whoever's going to give them the best deal is going to come out at the end of the day. Again, you know, they're kind of putting small towns, like, or, you know, small municipalities in need of jobs kind of on the kind of forefront of this too. So Stellantis is obviously just using their leverage, but I don't think it's at any cost, but what that cost is, I'm not sure.
It could be pretty steep. I know the people in Windsor hope that the anti-in from the federal government will attract both of those plants. Let's talk a little bit about Quebec as they ramp up French language requirements for immigrants as we try to make new targets. What is the conversation like in Quebec right now, Dan, about this, which has a lot of people saying, well, I'm not really sure if you can do that?
It is the same conversation it has always been for the past 4 to 5 decades. In fact, if you pull out a recording of a talk radio program from, say, 30 years ago, it will be virtually indistinguishable from a talk radio program from today. The problem is that the CAQ, you know, whatever the Parti Québécois has become, the CAQ has become so much more staunch in their bid to preserve and protect the French language, that what they're doing is they're really curtailing human rights, human freedoms, and this is taking it one step further. Now, I've tried to figure out what a quote-unquote economic immigrant is, but basically what Legault was talking about is going to affect everybody. And it's starting to affect me personally because my wife is moving here from another country. And if they're saying, you know, if they're going to require sponsor relatives coming to Quebec under the family reunification program, which is me and my wife, and now her good, fortunately, she speaks French, but can you imagine someone who doesn't speak French? They are now needlessly stressed out about this.
I get it, though. I mean, preserving the French language in a world that is getting smaller through communications, I do think should be a priority. I just don't know what lengths you go to, Andrew.
Well, sorry.
No, I was going to say, and I'm very interested to hear Dan's thoughts on this because it is such a Quebec issue. And from here, you know, it sounds like a lot of posturing and dog whistling in many aspects of this, but I can understand like some level of, you know, literacy in French, but the kind of, you know, you need to be able to read and write in French. I don't know what practicality that has your first day on the ground, but in a place like Montreal, I'm also kind of interested in as well, something that's, you know, dominantly most of the Anglophone as well. Does that not hurt Montreal and other urban centers? But yeah, I don't know. Just it seems like it's going to drive more people away. They're just going to go to other parts.
You want to chime in, Dan?
Well, they're going to go to other parts of the province, other parts of the country. They might even go to other countries because they don't want to have to deal with this. Now, if the Quebec government wants people who move here to speak French, I totally get it. But instead of saying either you speak French or you can't come here, they could turn around and say, I'll tell you what, come here and we will help you learn the damn language.
Yeah.
But they're not doing that.
Also, watch your language, please, Dan. Thank you.
Sorry. I said Dan.
Yeah, you did. Dan. Prime Minister Trudeau was asked whether or not he sees some of the ugliness towards the LGBT community south of the border leaking into Canada. Here's his answer.
Whether it's the attacks we're seeing on drag readings in libraries, for example, that we saw just a few months ago. Whether it's the horrific attacks on to us LGBTQI+ rights that we're seeing in, you know, we saw it recently here in Manitoba and Brandon.
We saw in Toronto the concern from the Pride organizers, which is one of the biggest events in this city. And I think the Toronto Pride is one of the most popular in the world. We saw that their security costs had more than doubled anyway. And that's because there is concern when they're assessing things that this year might be a little different. So I guess it's hard to say that we're not influenced to a certain extent by what is going on south of the border on this, Andrew.
Well, the culture wars seem to have kind of no border, right? Just because of social media and the like. So you do kind of get the spillover. And we've seen kind of dribs and drabs of it, like the convoy, for example, and other kind of things, the culture war issues here. But I worry about like people's safety in these events, right? Because we have seen an amped up rhetoric online. We do see people confronting people at, you know, libraries and drag shows and things like that. And you just worry that it's just going to take one hair trigger moment, right? Where something's going to happen. And it is concerning. And I think Ottawa Pride also has had to increase its security for this year too. So he's got a point, but it also just plays into Justin Trudeau's wheelhouse, right? Like he's answering a question off the cuff that he would love to answer on a town hall.
Yeah.
So he's in full campaign mode as well.
All right. Yeah. Why are we doing town halls? I have no idea what the backstory is there, but it seems odd to me. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat as Andrew. I mean, I know that at some point you're going to want to talk about the United Conservative Party, and I'm seeing this kind of wave of alt-right conservatism. And what it basically means is people from a different time want to bring that time back. And really, at the end of the day, you know, I know you have a strong feeling about drag reading, and I know you have a strong feeling about LGBTQ and all that, but at the end of the day, it doesn't threaten your existence in any way, shape, or form.
Yep.
Why not just leave it alone and let people be?
Hey, freedom people, why don't you actually believe in freedom is what I would say. And listen, you will be measured by time. Time will not treat you kindly. That's all I can say about that. All right, you're right. We will talk a little bit about the Alberta election and who endorsed a lady who wouldn't wear a poppy because she was disgusted by pandemic orders. We'll talk about that in a moment in the final takes from Andrew and Dan in a moment. I'm Jim Richards. This is the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
The moderately entertaining train of thoughts in 1.5 hour here on the iHeartTalk Radio Network. I am Jim Richards. Dan Laxer and Andrew Pinsent with us. Both of them are part of the iHeartTalk Radio family in Ottawa at CFRA. Andrew Pinsent is on your radio tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. until 11, and on your radio 9 a.m. on Sunday. You will find the vocal stylings of Dan Laxer, who joins us right now. Let's continue as we tackle some of the big news stories of the day. I see where the Competition Bureau is getting interested in what people are experimenting with. I'm talking about the legalization of cannabis. And now they're saying, wait a second, shouldn't people who want edibles have a better have better access to things that might be a little more powerful that you might only be able to get on the black market? Brad Poulos is a man who follows that industry, and this is what he has to say about it.
You know, your cannabis enthusiast, the regular user, in many cases, the products that are available in the legal market just aren't effective. They don't work at all. So if you think about medical users, which, by the way, get caught up in all the same regs, they need sometimes, you know, 100, 150, 200 milligrams of THC for breakthrough pain control.
Listen, I've tried it before just because, mostly research, you know, if I'm talking about it on the radio, I want to be able to.
You didn't really inhale, though, right?
No, yeah, well, I did inhale and I choked because these are edibles. But honestly, the only thing that I found about it was that it made me fall asleep. I don't think it did anything. And I was taking some of those 10 milligrams. In fact, I'm on 3 of them right now. No, that's a joke. What about you? Do you guys have any problem with this? Because, I mean, I think this has gone fairly swimmingly, this experiment with legalization in the country, and maybe it's baby steps as we try to figure out where it's going to end.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, when they initially legalized cannabis to begin with, they kind of did this low and slow thing with edibles, right? They waited for a couple of years. So I think safety was kind of what's in top of mind. So, you know, if consumers want the harder stuff, maybe it is time for that. But I think the consumers would know best at this point. And now there's kind of a range level in terms of kind of the safety aspect. So I think it's probably about time for this. But if the consumers want it, why not?
Dan?
Yeah, I agree as well. I mean, let's not. I'm not sure if it is about safety or do people still have in the backs of their minds, hang on, isn't marijuana a drug? Well, yeah, but so is alcohol. And the thing is, in terms of strength, you can get a beer that's somewhere between 4 to 6% alcohol. You can get wine, which is what, 12 to 13% alcohol, or you can get a bottle of vodka. How much percent? Yeah. It's each one is stronger than the other. So I think it's time that we, you know, maybe
relax.
What's
less harmful for you too? Yeah.
Which
I'm sure an edible is going to be less harmful for you to have that habit over a long period of time than vodka. It's like ridiculous. And who do you want to hang around with? The guy who's done the vodka or somebody who's on an edible?
And let's not forget that alcohol is also a stage one carcinogen.
Yep.
How pretty is the woman on the vodka?
It's a good question. I'm going to move along. Big election in Alberta. Danielle Smith is the leader of the United Conservative Party.
We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
It's amazing what they're forgiving with her. I mean, I think she said, I'm not wearing a poppy because you know what? This pandemic world is not what our soldiers fought for. I don't know. anyway, don't get me started. But she said all those so many dumb things, and people who are running with her at the head of this party are like, oh yeah, everybody makes mistakes. I don't know. Pretty sure that most smart people don't make that mistake. And I guess it puts Stephen Harper in a pretty difficult position. Like, what is he going to... He could do the right thing and not say anything. But, of course, he's going to come out and say, you know, Danielle Smith is going to be better than Rachel Notley.
Fellow Albertans, after some tough years, our province has finally recovered from the last NDP term. But Rachel Notley is promising to undo all that progress. The NDP is promising to hike taxes on job creators.
So you get the point. He's endorsing Danielle Smith. I would, if I was Rachel Notley, going, you guys have any idea how powerful I was when I was in election? Sure, the economy might not have been great, but I single-handedly lowered the cost of a barrel of oil. That was all on me. But anyway, guys, this thing looks like it's going to be really close. And any thoughts on Harper picking teams here?
Well, not surprised, obviously, just given the Calgary, you know, it's his riding, obviously, and it's he's a very beloved Albertan. So you're not surprised that he would jump behind the bandwagon. But very fascinating to watch is Danielle Smith. It is so close in the polls because there has been so many blunders, right? So you just kind of wonder, you know, how she got there in the first place. But I guess when the Conservatives have been in power for so long out of the last, you know, 5 decades, it's I guess this is what you get.
Well, the pandemic part of Alberta, this take back Alberta, this ugly kind of far-right conservatism that has taken over that party and really, really hijacked it, are the ones that kicked Kenny out. And now she, you know, she has to explain why she's in bed with this guy who also says, you know what, do what I say or I'm going to ruin you. Dan, any thoughts?
Well, yeah, in terms of Harper, I mean, he's showing his true colors. I mean, let's not forget what his political beginnings were before he became a conservative prime minister. But at the same time, you know, in terms of, I know very little about what's happening election wise, but you know, the David Bowie song, I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of Albertans.
Wow. Is that fair? I mean, you look at Calgary and Edmonton, they've had NDP mayors for probably as long as a lot of people can remember.
Yeah, but who's getting the press right now?
Okay.
Daniel Smith tells me that they're hellscapes. I'm not sure.
Okay. And finally, guys, let's stick with Andrew on this. Is the conference, if the rest of the country is talking about 24 Sussex, what is the conversation like there? And why can't people on all sides of the aisle just decide to bulldoze that thing or gut it and do whatever the hell they have to do to get it back to some sort of standing?
Well, and like, it's incredible to this point, everybody just wants it over with no matter what, right? Because even like the fact that the NCC was telling the Liberals like ahead of time, the NCC is the slowest moving bureaucracy here in the capital. And the fact that they were out in front of this ahead of the federal government just says a lot. But yeah, I wish this would be taken out of the government's hands so we don't have like a national historic property just basically run into ruins, run into the ground, rat infested, just because nobody wanted to do anything.
Sure. What about, do you care, Dan? You don't have
no.
to if you don't. Okay, good.
No, it's not that not that I don't care. The point I was going to make was, like, you know, given what's happening in the economy right now, given the price of groceries, the cost of gas and things like that, somebody somewhere wants Canadians to care about this. And I don't think they have time to care about this right now.
That's probably right now. It's hard. It's not the top front burner issue. Okay, let's wrap things up with the final take from Dan Laxer and also Andrew Pinsent. Let's start off with Dan, go ahead.
So my final thought is going to be an addendum to what I said about Albertans. You know, if you want the world to see you differently, then make a different electoral choice.
Okay. What about you, Andrew Pinsent? Tomorrow on CFRA between 6 and 11.
Just trying not to let the healthcare issue kind of fall out of the spotlight a little bit. Reading a little bit, there was 6 family doctors that retired in Kingston today alone.
Wow.
So now there's kind of tens of thousands of families without a doctor there. This is the same thing across the province. I heard another medical room or emergency room doctor in Toronto talk about this week, our crisis in emergency rooms. So just because the pandemic is gone, it looks like we've still got the emergency or the healthcare issue here. So try to keep that out in front of our minds.
Wow. Yeah. I was also reading that, you know, the what how bad things are in the healthcare system in Alberta that Lethbridge has one OBGYN. And Lethbridge is a fairly big town, city, or whatever you want to call it. Guys, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. The weather's going to be fantastic in eastern Canada because of the Rex lock. Is what that what it is? It's the Rex lock that we're experiencing. And I hope you're both enjoying it.
Okay.
It's a weather
I'll enjoy
system.
The same, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, thank you. There you go. I don't have time to explain Rex Lock to people. We did a whole segment with David Phillips yesterday. Straight ahead, how big can the electric vehicle market be in Canada? That's next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
Across this fine nation during this summer season, and I hope it's beautiful wherever you are, one thing that I do know is that you, I'm talking to you listening right now, you are beautiful. A lot of these kids are turning to the streets and they're racing. Street racing is something that everybody's concerned about. Yesterday, we had our own street racing team. When I leaned on the guys in the production booth, I said to Anthony, do the best muscle car impression you can do, and we'll see who wins the race between you and Tony. So this is Anthony, who produced last night. Petered out at the end there. We'll ask our expert in a second who he thinks is faster. Here is Tony. Tony clearly won, so Tony goes on to face Andrew after 8 o'clock. Andrew is warming up in right now in the pits, trying to get his thing together. So let's now go to a man who's an expert in all things automotive, the president of the Automotive Parts Parts Manufacturers Association here in Canada, Flavio Volpe. Flavio, we're going to get you on some important hard-hitting stuff, but who did you think was the faster sound there as we focus on street racing and the dangers of it?
I mean, the first guy sounded like an electric car, so I'd have to give it to Tony.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. There
no,
you go.
No. That's the one that sounded like the electric car. Give me the other.
Would you love to? Would you like to give it a shot?
No, I have a little bit more dignity than
that. That's too bad. No offense about your dignity. I'm happy for you having dignity, but for my sake, I would have liked it if you had no dignity. Tony, producer Tony, make sure for every guest you book in the future, no dignity, okay? Let's talk about some things because I think it's getting really interesting. Before we talk about the overall arching imprint that electric vehicles can have on Canada moving forward, it's interesting listening to the mayor of Windsor recently on this front.
I am concerned about the module plant, the module portion of this plant. I think it's at serious risk, and I think Stellantis is, you know, part of their contingency plans. They are looking in Michigan whether
so
they can.
So, if you didn't know, folks, there's going to be two plants. The module one looks like it's almost finished, and the head of Unifor, Local 44, is also concerned that the Canadian government might not be all in.
100%. I talked to our COO Mark Stewart. You know, he's indicated as well. So we come to $35. We need to get to the $45. That extra $10 is about $4 billion potentially over the life of.
So that's a lot of money. Are you hearing anything on how the negotiations might be going, and it might be the cell plant but not the module plant?
You know, in fairness to all the parties, they're doing it rather quietly, even though last week everybody did it in public. And so I'm hearing a lot from Dave Cassidy, the head of Unifor 444, and from the mayor. What we're hearing from suppliers, and I represent the part suppliers that supply into those battery plants as well as the car plants, is that we're waiting for a response from Stellantis that we saw in public last week, a bit of the drama that had the provincial government come up and step up to the plate with a little bit more, that the feds said it was too much money and they needed more from the province.
Yep.
And they did. The province's money is supposed to go to to securing that module plant you talked about. You know, yep. To your listeners, on a battery, what are modules? What are cells? Well, look, you go to the beer store. The product is a case of beer. You're buying a case of beer. The module is a box and the separators. The beer is the cells. And so you want to have both, but most importantly, if you have an empty box, you have no beer. So the cells is the most important thing.
Okay.
The other thing is this company makes cars in Brampton and makes cars in Windsor. You want to make sure that this company is committed not just to the batteries, but very importantly for the GTA here, there's probably about 12,000 jobs that are in supplier jobs to the plant at Windsor.
Yeah.
At Brampton. So, you know, we're listening closely.
So the government knows that when doing these negotiations, it's a bit of a trickle down that'll affect more than just Windsor. Let's talk about this on a greater kind of Canadian angle. The piece in the Star says $1 trillion payday in the making as Canada's electric vehicle supply chain takes shape at a remarkable pace. What kind of pace are we looking at? Are you shocked at how well things are coming together? And eventually, what does it look like? What does the electric vehicle manufacturing landscape look like for Canada?
That's a good question. I'll tell you, look, everybody knows when you make a car, about 75% of it comes from parts suppliers. And so it arrives as a jigsaw puzzle. So every time you've got a car job and a plant and auto jobs, you've got a spin-off of about 6 or 7 to 1 from all the parts and then the raw materials, the supplies and logistics. What happens in electric vehicles is that supply chain gets even longer. You've got to pull the rocks out of the ground. You got to turn them into a chemistry that works, put them inside cells, you make modules, make a battery pack and you send it down. There's also all kinds of other supply chain that doesn't exist with a gas-powered car. A gas-powered car, you show up at the gas station when you need to fuel up and you leave. If you're buying an electric car, more and more this is going to be whether you have that charging equipment at home. All of that technology, hard and soft technology, is available in Canada. And the more car companies we get to commit to this country, the more that spinoff is there. And, you know, for the first time in the history of the auto sector, because we're going to be heavily reliant on natural resources and critical minerals, a lot of the rest of the country gets to participate in the upside. Where do we get the lithium, the cobalt, the graphite, the nickel? We get it, sure, in Quebec and Northern Ontario, but there's a lot of lithium plays in Alberta. There's hydrogen fuel cell. The one of the global capitals of fuel cell technology is in British Columbia. Mercedes-Benz global headquarters for fuel cell stacks is there. So,
wow.
If we get this right, it isn't just about southwestern Ontario. It's across the country.
And I'm sorry, I only have about a minute and a half here. It's still in its infancy, right? We're not late to the party.
We're not late to the party, and I think some of the projections of how fast this is going to go, like the Canadian government thinks that we'll get to 100% EV sales by 2035. We won't, but we'll get to 40 or 50%. That's about 1 million cars a year. We make about 2 million cars a year. So the next 2, 3, 4 years are going to be very critical. We're not late, but we're not early. We're just on time.
All right. Appreciate it. Flavio, thank you very much. I've got to run, though, okay?
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Always a pleasure as well. I've got to get the heck out of here. I got to get in my car and I got to go zip out of here. That's our winner from yesterday when we did our street race. That's the producer, Tony. He goes up against Andrew next during our segment called Train of Thoughts. Then, who gets mad at somebody for jogging through a cemetery? You'll find out here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. I'm Jim Richards, and we hope you have a fantastic weekend.